Dude, I tell you what, most of our recording session is me trying to figure out where to put you on my screen.
Yeah.
And getting the document so I can read it properly, because as shocking to you and I as it may seem, I'm horribly unprepared every week.
So I split my screen into quarters.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I put you in the top left corner.
That's rank.
I put the Audacity in the bottom left corner and the note to the full right hand side.
Okay. All right. That's not as bad as I thought.
No,
I was going to say, if we're in little cubes on your screen, on your tiny MacBook screen, fucking, you're a monster.
No. I'll show
your
you.
Your tiny crab eyes can just zoom into like the smallest shit. That's disgusting.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
My name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast / mental health check-in for two broken-brained best friends talking around their problems.
Around them!
But not about their problems. No. While laughing at movies. And you know what, Ben, to recognize the fact that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, before we get to what we're doing, how are you doing, bud?
I am good, buddy. I'm doing good. I've had a fucking long, stressful week. I felt like shit all week. And do you know what? I've got two saving graces.
Right.
I've got three saving graces in my week.
Right.
I've got the Boardroom Gaming Cafe. It's like
incredible.
It's just a little hub of happiness that I go to every day. Everyone else should also do the same immediately.
Yeah, of course.
I've got Boys Night, where we go and watch some films and we do some stuff. You know, it's nice, it's fun, it's easy.
Not homoerotic at all.
Oh, it's Top Gun through and through, mate. Like, we're literally, we're one film away from shirtless volleyball in the garden, I'm telling you. I'm holding out for it, bud. And then thirdly, I've got your face on my screen, and this has perked me up beyond fucking belief. You have no idea what you've
likewise,
done for me this
buddy.
Week, mate. I love
likewise.
You. I'm doing great.
I love you too, bud. I love you too.
How are you?
Well, sad news for the scores of uninterested women out there.
Yeah.
I single am file. Getting a single being the operative word. My vasectomy is now booked.
Okay.
They gave me a choice of dates.
Right.
I obviously went for the 11th of September.
Incredible.
So my twin towers are coming down on the 11th, man.
Wow. So do they go in for the first one and then come back around for the second one? Or does the doctor sort of whisper in your ear as you're reading a children's book? It was like, they've hit the second tower. And then all you hear is a snip and just the sort of like the sagging of your balls. I don't know what a vasectomy is. I'm assuming that they take your testicles out.
Yes.
And then you just have them in a jar.
Yes, it's exactly that. I get a little coin purse after this.
Can
what
I
are we
one?
Doing today, Ben? Yeah, of course you can.
Thank you.
What are we doing today, Ben?
Today, buddy, we are doing Aliens. Yes,
1986.
Yes.
Hell yes. Now, I don't mean to hurry you, but
no,
this,
we're in it.
We got no time.
We're in it.
So this week, we are getting into a lot. We are getting into why this franchise went from being directed by Ridley Scott to diddly squat ideas before James Cameron came in and saved. Do you know how proud I am of that?
Your vasectomy
Ridley Scott
cannot
to diddly
come
squat.
Quick enough, man. These dad jokes need to fucking die. They need to.
Careful, mate. I've careful. Never, you're talking about an American tragedy.
I was going to drop a 9/11 joke, but that one's better.
No. Right, so I've picked that date so you can't make jokes about my vasectomy without committing a hate crime.
Oh, that's low-key genius. Yeah, fair play. Also, it's very sweet that you think I'm big enough to not do that still. Anyway, we're getting into why this might be the best sequel of all time.
How changing the gender perspective of the conflict made Aliens the ultimate Vietnam War movie.
What other actors we might have had playing sci-fi legend Ellen Ripley?
All right, pipe down. Geez, we've only just started.
Put some reverb on that. Make me sound like a fucking wrestling intro. You know what I mean?
I'll think about it. I'll also think of how much funnier it is to just leave the instructions.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man.
And how this film may have won the least deserved Oscar of all time. Now,
okay. Mandatory
moment here.
Yeah.
We're going to spoil shit out of this film. It's nearly 40 years old. Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck
yourself. But for the benefit of those people who've seen it before, they don't want to do a full rewatch while to enjoy this episode to know what we're talking about, we're going to break it down. And this is the breakdown.
We're having a breakdown.
Yes, it is, buddy. I still fucking love that jingle. I've written this week's breakdown. It is not my best work, but it is my work. All right.
Yes.
And that's all that matters. I'm here. I showed up. I brought some words.
I'm reading the chapter headings as well, right? Because you love a chapter.
I swear to God, if you miss the chapter headings in one more episode, I'm going to flip this fucking desk. All right.
Don't worry, mate. I'll get them.
Thanks, babe.
I'll get them. All right.
Thanks, babe.
Ripley still in deep stasis.
Just, I swear to God, I will.
Act one.
Oh, thank you.
Act one. Lost in space.
See?
Ripley, while still in a deep sleep stasis on an escape pod from the Nostromo, is found adrift in the cold depths of space. Ooh. When a salvage team happen upon her purely by chance.
How poetic.
After finally arriving back on Earth and learning she has been asleep for 57 years, Ripley faces nothing but criticism and skepticism from the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, not believing her accounts of the Xenomorph massacre that happened on the Nostromo, and caring only about the amount of money the ship self-destructing cost them.
Cunts.
The Weyland Corp execs destroy Ripley's credibility and give zero fucks about the obviously heartbreaking PTSD she is now riddled with. As if offering a favor to Ripley, the execs ask her to assist a team of cocky colonial marines on a rescue mission to that same planet, LV-246, the very same planet where the Nostromo crew found the laser hymened wet eggs.
Yeah, put that in there for you, buddy.
I was really hoping that phrase had stayed in the episode.
Bro, it's
for Alien 1970.
Fucking burned into my brain.
With a laser.
Yeah.
When the company loses contact with the terraforming colony that now inhabits the planet. For those that aren't sci-fi nerds, terraforming is not what you do when you're, say, ISIS or Al-Qaeda. It's changing the surface of a planet. Terra is spelled T-E-R-R-A, mm-hmm. not with an O-R.
No one's Ripley listening to this agrees. Episode that's not a fucking nerd. Everyone knows what that is. No lawyers are sitting there Ripley. Going, you know what I really want to listen to? Two pricks talk about aliens. If you're a lawyer, get in touch with us.
Ben, it wasn't for the inclusion of the nerds. It was for the inclusion of the terrorists, given the 9/11 joke that we already have.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to sit there and go, oh, this is a show for us. And then I say a word like terraforming and their ears prick up and they're like, what's that now? And I'm
right,
like, no.
Right.
Atmosphere change.
Oh, okay.
Ripley agrees to join the mission under the condition that they are there to destroy the Xenomorphs, not study them or use them for profit. Foreshadowing. En route to LV-426, Ripley meets the Marines and discovers an android, synthetic humanoid, you racist.
I'll put that in there
for
you.
Not an android.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She freaks out. Understandable after her last encounter with a company android. No, I mean, I think that's fair.
I think it's fair. I would freak out too.
Hot milk man would. I'm just like, you're full of milk. I can't.
I mean, in this one, it is a hot milk man. Because fuck me, Bishop, I wouldn't mind being diddled by that priest. You know what I mean? Fuck me. I'd be an altar boy on that fucking ship. You being serious? Hello.
Grim.
Act two. They came from a land down under. Arriving at colony.
Are we just not?
Shut up.
Are we not acknowledging
that? I was waiting for you to drink so that I could get it out and then move on quick enough.
Okay.
So shut up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Arriving at colony Hadley's Hope, Ripley and the team discover a scene of fucking intense horror. The entire colony appears to have been brutally murdered by Xenomorphs and left no survivors, except one, a little girl affectionately named Newt.
Newt!
Who is my fucking spirit animal. I swear to God,
sure.
buddy. Swear
for
to God.
For sure.
Ripley immediately forms a deep protective bond with the mystery child, and even when she says the creepiest shit, treats her like her own kid.
I mean, that's how you treat me. I say creepy shit, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, all the time.
Buddy.
All the time. And you are like my fucking, I don't know, you're kind of like a house cat at this point, you know what I mean? You sort of just wander in and out. You do your own shit, and I'm like,
shit on your
just
kitchen
Rob.
Floor.
Yeah, it's Rob. He just does his thing. It's fine. As the team venture deeper and deeper into the colony, they find themselves face to face with the Xenomorphs that no one really believed Ripley about. This obviously goes terribly, and the team suffer heavy casualties and the loss of their escape ship, leaving our team for dead on a planet brimming with hungry Xenomorphs. Do they hunt for food or just sport?
Sport.
Cocoons, right? Sport and cocoons.
Right, sport and cocoons. It's reproduction and sport. It's essentially the average thought process that goes through like a Telford man on a night out on a Friday. He's just hunting for sport and cocoons.
It's Telford, mate. Our night out ends at 10 p.m. There's one bar that's open later, and it's terrible. It's just full of greasy coke sniffers.
But that bloke in the blue jeans and the white shirt.
Fuck you! I'm wearing blue jeans and a white shirt right now, you cock.
Also, I have to slightly interrupt. Do you think Ripley's just got a really untrustworthy face?
Yes.
Do you reckon she's just got a way of saying shit that people are like, that's not true?
Ah, no.
Because this is like the second time this has happened.
No. I've got something for this. You ready? Let me continue. All right, fine. Ripley takes no shit and assumes command. And in a refreshing turn of events, she's fucking listened to.
Yeah, by act three, almost. halfway through the film, they're like, oh no, you are right.
Yes, it's halfway through the film. It's not quite act three, though. So, you know, progress.
Progress, yeah.
Women's rights, it's a thing. Get on board, Rob, you fucking bigot. The plan, set up shop, reinforce the shit out of the medbay and call for rescue. But plot twist, Burke, the executive responsible for getting the whole mission going, is a queen cunt and reveals his plan to bring the Xenomorph's embryos back to Earth for profit by concealing them in the chests of frozen humans.
Yeah, it's very much the sort of Marks and Spencers. Do you remember the horse meat scandal in the UK?
That was Tesco. Did you nearly say Marks and Spencers?
No, I was going to say Marks and Spencers something else, and then I couldn't think of a Marks and Spencers scandal because they're never knowingly undersold. Ben, Act 3, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. It's almost like you know that this is the best phrase in the entire film.
I wrote these specifically for you, by the way, mate.
Right, thank you, because this is Act 3. They mostly came at night. Mostly.
Oh, God. Creepy little bitch. I'd just push her off that rock that she's standing on and be like, leave. You are Xenomorph fodder at this point, all right?
I'd just be like, okay, guys, the colony is riddled with Xenomorphs. This bitch riddled with ghosts.
Yeah, ghosts.
We've got two problems here.
Right, so brilliant. So now we've got a fucking planet full of aliens and a haunted child. Brilliant. Brilliant. What are we doing? Let's fuck off.
As the Xenomorphs break through our team's defenses, Ripley, Hicks, and Newt fight for their lives to escape. Bishop, the synthetic humanoid, remote pilots the last airdrop ship, but Newt has been captured by a warrior Xenomorph. Ben's one of them.
Famously the best Xenomorph.
He's best at swimming, at least.
Yes.
Driven by her newfound motherly instinct, Ripley arms herself to the fucking teeth and goes back to rescue her, and in what can only be described as the best final showdown in cinematic history.
Yes, buddy.
Ripley faces off with a fucking Queen Xenomorph.
Yes, buddy.
Queen Xenomorph is accurate. I just don't know. I've never seen a drag artist do an act that involved.
It's the sexiest one.
I don't know what kind of way... Right? The sexiest drag
one.
Queen.
Yeah.
Ripley and Newt barely escape with their lives to the dropship's last known location, thinking Bishop has abandoned them to die. But he comes back.
He does.
The Queen Xenomorph uses a fucking elevator. Genius writing choice, by the way.
Yes.
Bishop punches it into the Sulaco and Ripley forgives Bishop, thanking him for saving them. Right as he's ripped in two.
Oh,
the Queen Xenomorph, who was hanging on the outside of the dropship the whole time. And it was only rewatching this in 4K. I saw that on one of the feet, you do get a little hint.
Yeah.
Ripley, with no weapons, has to get creative. And Pacific rims the fuck out of the Queen. Okay, phrasing.
Yeah.
Pacific rims the fuck out of the Queen Xeno in her mech suit, fiercely protecting Newt. Cinematic genius after cinematic genius. And I think everybody came by this point.
Yeah. It was. I think it was like a communal cum. You know what I mean? It was beautiful.
Please stop talking. Newt calls Ripley mummy. Bishop's last words are, not bad for a human.
Oh.
Ripley places everyone in stasis for the return journey. And I cried like a kid who dropped his ice cream. Ripley's glorious afro sees us out on a note of hope.
Right. I wrote that last sentence as I was watching the end of the film, and I was very much like in bits, being sort of like, the haunted child called her mummy.
It's brilliant. Look, this film cost $18 million to make.
That's fucking insane.
Right, it made 10 times its budget.
Of course it did.
$183 million.
Woo!
We often pick series on the show, right? And it can sometimes feel like we're just chunking through, like there's one there and we want to... No. We're covering this film because Aliens, for me, is the quintessential, iconic, fucking seminal 70s movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Aliens 1986 is that for the 80s. This is the most important, and I'm going to go through and prove this fucking statement.
Okay.
The most important 1980s sci-fi action movie of all time.
Okay.
There isn't a film in this decade that beats it.
I'm glad you said sci-fi action movie, because if you would have just ended that with movie, I was about to lose my mind. I would have literally started throwing Blu-rays at the screen, yelling at you.
Yeah, there's like a couple of better ones. Maybe like Remains of the Day, Koi Naskatsi.
The fuck are we talking about? Sleepaway Camp. Basket Case.
Yeah, mid.
Fucking hate you so much. Right, I've ben, got some questions time. About this. All right, I know we're on a schedule. All right, I've got a question about this.
Why Sleepaway Camp shit?
Did you just say Sleepaway Camp shit?
We haven't got time, Ben. Move on. Tick tock.
We're gonna interview Felissa Rose one day, and I'm gonna play her that clip. All right.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you. How?
Oh, okay.
Did Cameron make such a fucking simple movie so intensely exhausting to watch? And I mean this in a good way, because it's like, it does what every other sequel does well. It takes the good bits from the previous film and it embellishes on them, and it works in the same universe. It builds on the same like world building frame, right? And it avoids what other sequels do bad, which is try and go off in a direction that isn't necessarily complementary to the fucking franchise, right? And it's fine. But watching Aliens, bud, I haven't watched it since I was a kid. I remember it being a not very good film. I'm a fucking idiot for that, because I watched it this time round and I was shattered by the end of it. I was like, that is an emotional roller coaster. My heart, I've been having chest problems recently. My heart is on the edge right now.
Yeah.
Super fucking fun.
Maybe get an x-ray, mate. Maybe there's an embryo in there. So I wasn't allowed to watch Alien as young as I was allowed to watch Aliens because of the slightly lighter tone of this one. Slightly lighter tone. You got the Marines. Hudson.
Yeah, I guess.
You know.
You watch them all get brutally murdered and melted with fucking acid blood.
But it's a little less sinister, and it's a little less sexually sinister, and it's a little bit less doomy
than
Alien 1979. I know a lot of people who dislike this film because of its kind of lighter tone. I think there's a couple things that help this. One of them, and I think the main one that makes this incredible, is the genre pivot to action.
Yeah,
is in the hands of James Cameron, who at this point in his career has made The Terminator, the second Rambo movie, which I'm going to bring up again later because it's relevant.
Yes.
And then this movie. And his dialogue, there's a line in this given by Burke, the Weyland-Yutani executive.
Yeah.
They're flying down over LV-246 and there's these atmosphere reactors. And he leans in, proud as punch, and he says, oh, you know, we manufacture those, by the way.
Right.
And that single line tells you everything you need to know about Burke. What he thinks of his job, the company, what he thinks the right thing is, what his fucking motivations are. Yeah. He's a company man, right?
Yeah.
So you think, okay, that's great. There's one line of dialogue. I know everything you need to know about Burke. But because Cameron is an efficiency pervert, it tells you something else as well, right?
Okay.
Because it also gives you an intuitive understanding of how the alien is changing its environment. So when you see all the shit later, you understand about changing environments to make them suit you and the war that's going on between them.
Oh my God.
Because some guy in there has gone in and gone, yeah, we're changing our environment to make it more hospitable to ourselves. So when they walk in and the bottom of the human colony looks like Geiger's fuck shack, you're like, oh, no, I guess what's going on. And no one needs to go, I wonder why the walls look like penises and vaginas. Who's their interior decorator? You just intuitively get it.
That's fucking crazy. I didn't even pick up on that. Like, obviously, I picked up on it because I understood everything that was happening with zero exposition needed, right?
This is the thing. He doesn't do exposition that way. He does it in short, sharp bursts.
Right, okay.
And you listen to the line and you go, that's corny as fuck. No one talks like that.
Yeah.
But he's also saved you a page of dialogue later down the film.
Fair.
Right?
Okay.
Now, we very nearly didn't get this film, right? Because it was in development hell for years. Fox put the sequel into development because of a lawsuit brought by the original producers of the first Alien movie about profits.
Right.
And they basically ended up in this situation where they had to be making a sequel in order to continue fucking the original producers of Alien.
Right, okay.
But the way it was structured meant they didn't actually have to release the film. It just had to be in development.
Oh, that's fucking evil. I love this.
One of the original producers was asked the son of Brandywine at the time, you know, when are you planning on making the movie? And the son said, never. We're going to save my father millions by never making that movie.
Incredible.
They don't want Ridley Scott back because he's a shit to work with.
Right.
And they end up, James Cameron's made Terminator. They invite him in for a meeting and they're like, we've got a film we want you to make, mm-hmm. James Cameron.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd be Aliens. It wasn't. They wanted him to make Spartacus in space.
Spartacus in space.
And James Cameron was like, yeah, that kind of sounds wicked, you know, with like sci-fi tech. And they're like, no. Swords and sandals. Just in space.
Wait. James Cameron, we've got a pitch for you, mate. Yeah? Have you seen Jason and the Argonauts?
Yeah, of course.
Well, what we're thinking is we're going to put that into space and we'll want you to make Jason and the Astronauts. How are we thinking? How are we feeling?
Okay, that was quick.
Thank you.
But also, swords and sandals, but in space.
Mint idea.
It's just a sword and sandals film because the Earth is in space.
I fucking love sword and sandal films, man. Sign me up. Like, give me that film.
Yeah, get back to me when you've seen Gladiator. But he goes to walk out and they're like, in order to keep him sat down, they're like, oh, you know, you could do the sequel to Aliens. And he's like, he says, the pinball lights went off in his brain. He's like, you're doing a fucking sequel to Alien. You didn't lead.
I was
going to
say, like, man, what the fuck sort of meeting is this? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, just as an off-cuff, do you want to maybe follow up Alien? Yeah, dick. Obviously. Look at my filmography. That's exactly what I want to do. Swords and sandals in space. Fuck off.
So yeah, it eventually got James Cameron. He was insistent that they got Sigourney Weaver.
I've got a fun fact about this. This is part of my research. I'm going to derail it slightly. Do you mind if I derail it slightly?
Please do.
This, as part of my research, I've not done Buckets because I know that this is very much your baby and I love seeing you this passionate. It makes me so fucking happy to watch you nerd out over this. So I've I've leant back a bit. But what I did find out is that we nearly didn't have Sigourney Weaver as Ellen Ripley.
What?
Yeah, she was actually, she was cast second as Ellen Ripley. Do you know who was first cast?
No.
Meryl Streep. Yeah.
Ooh, that would have been
interesting, right?
Margaret Thatcher as Ellen Ripley.
Yeah, but fit though, right?
I mean, incredibly fit.
Yeah.
I mean, Mamma Mia.
Yeah, but with
Alien Mamma Mia.
Right? Imagine that. But yeah, apparently it was down to those two. There was a bunch of other people that auditioned too. There was Helen Mirren. There was Catherine Ross. There were also Veronica Cartwright, you know, the one that played Lambert in Alien?
Yeah.
She auditioned for Ellen Ripley?
No way. This is all in Alien 1970.
Yes, it's all for Alien. Right, but it would have carried on throughout the thing.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then apparently Streep wasn't given the role because there's two rumors. I don't know which one's true. I said I did a bit of research. It ended at a bit. one of the rumors is that Ridley Scott decided that Meryl Streep was too dainty and frail to play a rugged space miner, which I can see.
I can see that. Okay, yeah, fair. And then
another report.
Because Sigourney Weaver is famously chunky.
Right, she is buff as fuck, right? If I look at Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters, I think, why isn't she in a mine? You know what I mean? she works at a museum and not at the local coal mine, at New York's famous local coal mine. Yeah, okay. And then the other rumor is that obviously Streep's partner passed away from lung cancer in March of 1978. So the producers let her go so that she could grieve her loss. And then she was replaced with Weaver.
Ah, so it's an interesting thing you mentioned, the cancer death of Meryl Streep's partner.
Oh, where's this one going?
We covered a film.
We did.
That she was in.
Oh, okay.
Called The Deer Hunter.
Oh, we did.
Right.
That was a tough watch.
Wasn't long before this film. It was 5 or 6 years, you know.
Sure.
And I would say that that is evidence number one of my difference between 70s cinema.
Okay.
Where you're very much looking at the human cost of the recent war.
Yeah.
People are coming back. Soldiers are coming back. They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. People are fucked up. PTSD.
Okay.
And then there's the... When we covered Blood and Gold.
Yes.
And I was saying it was one of the first movies I'd seen out of Germany, whether it's through my own ignorance or not, where they were treating that period in their history with a little bit of lightness.
Yeah.
Not disrespectfully so.
Not disrespectfully.
But they were looking at other stories that they could tell other than just beating themselves over and going, sorry, 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 sorry.
Yeah.
I think Aliens is the Blood and Gold to the Deer Hunter's Schindler's List.
Okay, that's a very confusing sentence. I'm trying to process it. I'm working on it. Continue.
This is the light, happy, we're going to go back to Vietnam and it's going to go differently.
Oh.
It's going to be dealt with differently, right?
So Deer Hunter is like Vietnam, everything's serious, everything's dead.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah,
Vietnam
yeah.
to Electric Boogaloo, where everyone gets on and
right.
there's a sing-song.
100%.
Got you.
100%.
Got you.
Cameron sent all of the US Colonial Marines on a training course, with the exception of Sigourney Weaver.
Okay.
Paul Reiser, who plays Burke.
Yeah.
And William Hope, who plays Gorman, because he wanted them not as experienced as the other Marines. He wanted them all tight together.
Okay.
And he wanted Burke, the corpo exec, and the brand new fucking CO, and Ellen Ripley to be apart and detached, right?
Oh, I love this.
He let them all personalize their uniforms, but he gave them reference images of Vietnam US soldiers
right.
who had personalized their uniforms.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's all the weaponry, the smart rifles based on an MG42 machine gun.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that. Everyone knows
pulse
guns.
Rifles based on a Tommy and a Tommy gun and sure. a part of a shotgun.
Okay.
So it's all like US weaponry.
Yeah.
It's all US soldier imagery.
Right.
But then if you think about it, it's American sounding soldiers.
Yeah.
Going into an environment that they are unprepared for.
Yes.
Where their training and technology are inappropriate for the specifics.
Right, I see. Right?
Cameron says, the film can be seen as analogous to the inability of the superior American firepower to conquer the unseen enemy in Vietnam. A lot of firepower and very little wisdom, and it didn't work.
Right, that's so fucking smart, man.
Right,
that's
and
so
you've
good
got these enemies that hide in the environment.
Yeah,
they're ambush predators and they don't have minds of their own because they're fucking communists.
Man, I need to just derail slightly. The fucking I've watched this 3 times in the run-up to this episode. Mm-hmm. And on my latest watch through, I'd paid attention to everything I needed to pay attention to, right? So on my third watch through, it was pure fucking like fun porn. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was just there for the good time. No note taking, no nothing. And the main thing that I came away with is the way that the xenomorphs are filmed in Aliens compared to how they're filmed in Alien sets the entire tone for everything that's happening, right?
Okay, how come?
So in Alien, it's very slow, it's very sneaky, it's very creepy, and it blends in and it slowly reveals itself bit by bit, and it's fucking
sexy.
It's sexy. It's like, it's pure horror, right? It is pure horror and it is just dread inducing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in this one, there are several shots of a xenomorph with a limb missing running down a very small, like, hallway.
Yeah.
And the way it's filmed, I found myself laughing at it a lot, and I shouldn't have been. But it's a very funny image to see a xenomorph sort of retreating,
totally, squealing.
With a missing leg, just going down a hallway. It's fucking amazing. The way they've done it is great. And it's almost like James Cameron was like, yeah, Alien is the very serious, very fucking necessary foundation. Now, let's have some fun with the fucking goofy warrior xenomorphs that are throwing themselves in the line of fire to protect their queen. It's fucking amazing.
Right.
How they filmed the xenomorphs in these 2 films. Amazing.
But it comes back to that. It's an army now.
Yes.
So whereas previously it was a hero xenomorph.
Yeah.
And that was the villain.
Yes.
These are faceless grunts versus faceless grunts.
It's incredible.
The hero xenomorph, the queen, she's sexy.
Oh, she
gets all the
fine
hero shots.
Mm.
Right?
She don't run. She uses elevators, mate.
She does.
She uses elevators.
Queen.
Yeah.
Queens don't take the stairs, bro.
No, fuck no. Pure passenger princess, you know what I'm saying?
But it makes even more sense when you realize that this film was written by James Cameron at the same time that he was writing Rambo Part 2.
Yes.
Let's go back and let's win this time.
Yes,
buddy. Aliens is, let's go back, get shit mixed, and the only people that survive, I'll get into why... There's a reason the survivors are who they are.
Okay.
That's for later.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this one.
I've got the juice. I've got the juice.
All right. So, being as Aliens might be the best sequel of all time, apart from, you know, there's a few...
Maybe Terminator 2.
Terminator 2 is up there. Friday the 13th, yeah. Part 3 is up there. There's a few films...
Hellraiser Bloodlines.
In the bin. There's a few that are... that's made me... unnecessarily angry. Hold on, just give me a second. just 1 second. Why do you think this works so well as a follow-on from Alien? A
couple reasons.
Yeah.
When we covered everything's a callback today. Sorry, gang. But when we covered Ghostbusters, we talked about...
Yeah.
Let's call it the Ghostbusters trap. We've got the Blomkamp trap. Now we've got the Ghostbusters trap.
Yeah.
Where you make a sequel that doesn't have its own mission statement of why it should exist.
Yes.
It's just a let's do more cos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
By pivoting to an action film, it can say different things with the same iconography. It can take that alien that was a sexy, horrific male rape allegory, mm-hmm. and it can pivot to an action film, and it can make that faceless monster, rather than sexual terror, it can make it social terror, right?
Yeah.
It can go, those fuckers over there live in a way that is completely alien to how we live, and it is going to destroy our way of life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dan O'Bannon, who wrote Alien,
right,
and he's arguably the father of the franchise, he was quoted as saying, James Cameron did one of the few things that one could have done to make a half-decent sequel, which is he turned it on its head and made an action-adventure film.
Incredible.
But it still wasn't different enough. If I had been involved, I would have turned the whole project upside down altogether, or I would have been much more radical in the treatment of the alien itself. So if you saw the movie, there would be plenty of surprises and shocks again, not just finding out they had a queen. When I first thought about sequelizing Alien, when that came up, I found it a difficult task, being as concerned as I am about maintaining high standards in terms of the story. I thought it was impossible to do. If I was to go back, I'd do something so different, I'd probably call it something else. So I probably just wouldn't do a sequel.
I fucking love Dan O'Bannon so much.
Dan O'Bannon. That's Dan O'Bannon being asked a question he hasn't thought a single bit about the answer
to.
That's
pure. And it's just a stream of consciousness. Pure word vomit. Just, this is some words think about sometimes. Incredible.
Ridley Scott, however, who mm-hmm. was not called for this fucking film.
Shocker.
Has only got nice things to say. He says, it's always a tough job to follow a successful film with a sequel to it.
I like that he puts a little compliment to himself in there. It's yeah. always so difficult to follow up such a hugely successful film.
I mean, when you're writing a sequel to possibly the best film ever made,
yeah.
it can be really difficult to...
Where do you go from actual genius? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, where do you go from that?
But he said, what James Cameron did was an excellent action picture. It was really amazing what he accomplished. Mm-hmm. There's no question that Cameron made an excellent film with aliens. It really is an achievement.
Lovely.
I think... Cameron brings his own subtext mm-hmm. that is bettered by using the iconography of the Alien franchise by moving into motherhood and womanhood. And I'll bring it back
yeah.
now. The people that survive in this film
yep.
is an American nuclear family.
Oh my God, it totally is. I fucking hate that I knew where you were going with this immediately and I hadn't picked up on it. It totally is.
Yeah. It's the smart, humble, kind, but strong soldier man.
Yeah.
It's the capable, intelligent, but caring and nurturing mother who has chosen a child.
Also with a fantastic afro. And then it's the haunted child.
It's the haunted child.
The haunted child.
Because American children are haunted because they have to go to American schools.
Also, because children are half people, let's plop a fucking half android in there. Do you know what I mean? There
right,
you go.
Exactly.
Full no, nuclear that's, family.
That's Uncle Steve, you know? That's like that's the mate to the dad. That's it's the American way of life.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The dad's got a mate.
Who's he going to grill with? You know what I mean? Who right, is exactly. the nice, humble soldier going to grill with? Uncle right. Steve. I nearly said Uncle Terry then.
Uncle Terry is the alien.
Yeah. The Queen's
the alien's very...
Uncle Terry right. is why the child is haunted.
Right. But Ripley is a mother by choice, right?
She is.
She goes against what benefits her personally mm-hmm. for the benefit of Newt. She could at any point in the third act of this film go, well, the taxi's here, so
yeah.
I'm out.
She's probably already cocooned. Goes, fuck it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But she doesn't. She doesn't. She goes on a fucking quest, right, to mm-hmm. get this girl that she's known for, what, 72 hours tops?
Yeah.
So she goes against what benefits her personally for the benefit of the child, whereas the alien queen has children to further her own aims and nothing more. She doesn't nurture them. She doesn't care for them.
They're so it's tools. Like it's two different versions of motherhood sort of competing mm-hmm. for spotlight. Which yes. one works better? Is this nature versus nurture?
It's the American way of life and the American ideals.
Yeah.
Or the Western ideals.
Sure.
Versus the communist ideals of fuck it, let's just have millions of them.
I don't think that that's how it works.
As seen through the lens of Reagan-era America.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That makes some sense. That makes right? some sense. I was going to say the nature versus nurture thing. Obviously, nature being the aliens, and they were just sort of like, fuck it, you know, they're my tools. Go and fucking do my bidding. There's your nature.
Yeah, yeah,
they're,
yeah.
Like they're like inherently evil and just bred for war.
Telford parenting.
Hey, listen, right? My mom was a fucking saint. Right? Mm-hmm. You keep her name out of your mouth, all right?
I'm just saying, when she walked down the street, there was so that pushchair was so wide, people had to cross over.
I've got three siblings, yeah?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Man. Netflix wasn't about the shit to do now, do you know what I mean? People have got other stuff going on. Back then, what the fuck was there? Game Boy. Yeah. Yeah. All right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you couldn't see it. It was like the trailer
That's
for
what
Alien.
I mean.
You couldn't see shit.
That's what I fucking mean. It was dark as fuck. But then you've got Nurture, who is like Sigourney Weaver, Ellen Ripley, who was fully chosen to be the mother, like
yes.
for the thing.
Yes,
I
yes,
love
yes,
this
yes.
thing. This is getting deeper like, by the second. I'm gonna have to watch this again.
This is all very barely hinted at subtext and influences. And I'm not saying that the alien in this film is a metaphor for something intentionally.
No, fuck you.
Cameron.
I am. I think, I'm sold right, on it okay. now. You've taught me a little bit. I'm now an expert. It is it. Fuck you all.
No, I think what he's doing is I think he's borrowing from places
yeah.
because he knows that we have an inherent about certain things, you know?
Sure.
Them people over there, they not like us.
Mm. Yeah. Ghosts. Owls, you know?
Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owls, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta be careful of that shit. You know what I mean? I think as we're sort of getting towards the back end of the episode, you know, we've gone through, we've definitively said that this is an allegory for nature versus nurture, and it is about East versus West, you know what I mean? It is Reagan versus the communists, and I can think we all agree on this, right? It's the second best Vietnam movie that exists. I think the one question that I'm left with, Rob, is...
Yes.
When do they mostly come? Mostly.
I mean, for me, it is at night.
Yeah, good.
And that's because I work in the day. I work in a kitchen.
Yeah.
Have to keep my hands clean.
Yeah.
Can't really go for one in the cupboard.
Yeah, fair. 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 Well, yeah. I think this is going to lead into my new spirit animal point. I feel like it's taken a sharp left turn. I've got no real bridge to get us there. So I'm just gonna skip it. Newt's my spirit animal. And I feel like the fucking depression den that she's been living in after watching her literal biological family and friends and family friends all be brutally murdered by a fucking xenomorph.
Yeah.
I think it's completely understandable and very relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, with the mental health issues that we've had going on, right, over the last few years, especially, because we've kind of woken up and gone, fucked it. Need to do something about that.
Yeah. Totally,
and then
totally,
the
totally.
Depression pit, I saw it and I was like, that is far too close to home.
That's my bedroom.
I don't like where this is headed because now I've got to confront my demons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, when you ask me how I'm doing and I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning and I opened the bottom of my foot like the zip of a hoodie.
It's because fucking there rancid. Was... Are you okay? But also disgusting.
It's fine. I did a shift on it afterwards. So it's fine. But it's fine in the way that, like, I have a wound on my foot because I had glass on my floor. It had been there for days.
See, I get that.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. When I say I'm all right, I'm hideously mentally unwell, but it's not changed.
Oh,
so,
right.
So, like,
yeah.
What's to report? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
so if every day is depression day, then no day
and
is
I'm
depression
fine.
Day, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. See?
It's everyone's special, no one is. Thank you, The Incredibles.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like...
Disney does it again. Saves the day. No, I think...
Yeah,
I think,
no. Newt is your spirit animal. You're often unclean.
Yeah.
You force the people around you into a parental relationship.
Yeah. I do. I search for father really figures mean. Everywhere. It was really mean, but fuck you. I mean, by proxy, you're the older one of us two. you're a fucking father figure. Enjoy that one, buddy. With your shitty vasectomy, I'm still your baby. Know what I mean? Seriously, though, can I just have
Rob
one ball?
Rob, my camera doesn't work.
Yeah, Rob, my camera doesn't work. Also, what's a Google? Can you just do it for me? Yeah.
Yes, you can have my one ball.
Thank you.
And I appreciate Newt being your spirit animal.
Thanks.
I think I am Hudson.
Okay, why?
Because he's just constantly panicking. He's always crumbling.
No, okay, right? No, I see it now. I and see also, it now.
Do you want to know a fun fact about Hans Hudson, right? Danny McBride. You're better positioned to tell me who Danny McBride is, because I've seen him in a few comedies. Oh, I think he's good.
Danny McBride's incredible.
But Danny McBride, for the listeners.
Okay, he plays Kenny Powers in Eastbound and Down. He's fucking amazing. Okay. You're going to know him from This Is the End. It's the big
great
comedy.
Where he plays himself.
Where he plays himself and he ends up with Channing Tatum as a sex slave. He also...
Yeah, he's in a couple of Will Ferrell comedies.
He is. He wrote the Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends of the new Halloween timeline.
So the first half of this film is one of Danny McBride's favorite films.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that means
I need context.
He watched it really young.
Why not the second half? Oh, right, okay.
He watched it really young when he was with his mum. And he'd watch it and he'd turn it up and obviously a fair bit of swearing.
Sure.
And then his mum, and this is a direct quote, she said, "What is this that you are watching? If they curse one more time, this is going off.
Right.
We are not going to sit and listen to this." Then Bill Paxton came into the scene where the dropship crashes and he unleashed his epic monologue with the words game over, man, and dropped the F-bomb near enough 30 times.
Amazing. Oh, so his mum would just turn it off. Fuck off. That's amazing.
And he never saw what happened to you at Ripley for 10 years after that.
Oh, man. That's such a Danny McBride thing. That's such a Kenny Powers thing to love something but have no idea how it ends.
Now, as a special treat for you, Ben.
Go on.
I went deep this week. This is...
I know you did, buddy. I think I've said 9 words the entire fucking episode. And to be honest, I'm loving life.
It's such a touchstone of like my love affair of film.
Okay.
It's the only reason I love Blomkamp is because he reminds me of this.
Okay.
And his stuff is so reminiscent of like that era, you know, RoboCop, Aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some film links that I discovered whilst doing the research, right? First one, what was the book all the Marines were made to read during their training?
Oh, fuck. I don't remember.
By an author called Robert A. Heinlein.
Not sure.
I'm doing my part.
Fuck off. Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
No fucking way.
They're made to read the book of Starship Troopers.
No way.
It informed all of their performances.
Incredible.
So that's link number one.
Okay.
Link number two, the guy that plays Hicks, right?
Yeah.
Michael Bean. That was a recast. There was a guy called James Remar who was originally cast.
Okay.
Who brought his Ithaca Model 37 pump action shotgun onto set, as you do.
America!
Forgot it had live ammo in it. Don't worry, this didn't go Brandon Lee. But he did shoot a hole in the adjacent stage at Pinewood.
Right.
Frank Oz's Little Shop of Horrors.
No fucking way!
When you watch Little Shop of Horrors,
yeah,
the other side of that wall, they're filming Aliens.
Stop it. This makes me like both of the movies so much more.
Right?
So much more.
And then your third and final and arguably best little link.
Okay. If this is Ghostbusters, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
No, it's not.
Okay.
This relates to us.
Oh, okay.
You and I went to university in West London.
We did. Ealing.
Ealing. Now, when you got the train in to London, you went through a little part of town called Acton.
Yes.
Now, there is a location in Acton.
Right.
Right? Which was the alien nest.
Okay.
When they film the scene where the alien queen is hissing and Ellen Ripley is pointing the flamethrower at the eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Stone's throw from where we met.
No fucking shot, man.
Right. And then...
Yeah.
When they finished filming,
they
left it as it was. And the next film, the Batman crew entered, removed the Xenomorph eggs, and used it as Axis chemicals for Batman 1989.
Fuck off, buddy. So not only did me and you meet on LV-426, we also met in Gotham fucking City.
Yes, we did, mate.
Unreal. The fact that we went to Ealing, to Thames Valley University, right? It's not Thames Valley anymore, but Ealing Studios was part of it. Big film studio.
Huge.
Shitloads of famous films, right? Yeah. None of those mattered, but because we were at that university, right? It was in Acton, which is one tube stop away in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. No one cares about it. That's suburbia. The bit that matters. Incredible. Sound.
100%.
I love this. I love all of this.
Little known fact for the listeners, Ben's first experience of being on mic was the university radio show.
It was. I was allowed to play one Poly Six song. Poly Six are a Japanese band that I was horrendously obsessed with. I listened to nothing else for about 9 months. It was incredible. I was allowed to play one of their songs per week.
Great.
And then we had our radio show cancelled because our roommate Claire showed up, just walked into the radio studio and started going, "You fucking lent me that film last night. Scared shit out of me, you dickhead." Live on air. So that was good. That went out to people. And we got immediately cancelled before the next song had finished playing. So like,
amazing.
Yeah, so that was
good.
What
I love is that you now do a very similar thing.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to swear all you like.
Oh,
you were like,
God,
do you know what?
It's so good. What? Yeah. Do you know what this radio show's missing? More Claire. Do you know what I mean? That's it. That's what it is.
So, couple things. We're going to rate this movie. I don't know why. I don't know what the point of that segment of the show is, but we're going to do it anyway.
Not for the Alien series. Well, not for the first two films.
We got a game that I've spent a little bit of time on.
Okay.
And then we got Comment Corner.
Yeah.
But before we do any of that, buddy, because all of that stuff's important, I'm actually mad excited for the game. I think it's going to be wicked.
Okay,
just a couple minutes.
I can't wait.
How you doing, really? Because we're out of the intro now. We're not pushed for time.
Okay.
We got a couple minutes. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing better than I was, which is nice. I think each day is a little step forward. I feel like being out there and open and vulnerable and meeting new people and sharing experiences with people I wouldn't ever have dreamed of doing before, it's put me out of my comfort zone in the short term, but in the long term has enriched my life beyond belief, right?
Right. Yeah.
And in Telford's a small town, it's quite hard to do these things, but there's certain places that exist that allow you to do these things. I'm forever going to be grateful to the Boardroom Gaming Cafe for their space where they've cultured this community of people where it doesn't fucking matter what walk of life you're from. It doesn't matter what day you're having. It doesn't matter anything like this. You can just go in there and you're guaranteed to leave with a smile on your face. Like, just guaranteed. It's unbelievable the work that they do. They're not recognized enough for it. It's a great space to go and have a coffee, and they do amazing cheesecakes. Helen, fucking the cheesecake is insane. Keep it up, please. Thank you.
Nice. Nice.
But also, the fucking mental aspect of it, mate. It's unparalleled. Unparalleled.
Cool. Are we getting paid for this or?
No, I was just there today and it made me feel 1,000 times better after a shitty day at work.
Okay.
So I was like, all right.
Just checking.
Yeah.
I was just checking. Yeah. Because I mean, I do feel you with that.
Yeah.
I've really.
Hold on one sec before you get into this.
Right.
How are you really doing?
Well, I've got the same answer to you, man. I've been struggling this week, and I found it what's really helped is Raid Shadow Legends.
Ooh.
Now, the best thing about Raid Shadow Legends... it sounded so much like a sponsored segment. I was just like...
There's no sponsor. No. This is a genuine thing of my mental health is better because of something.
Yeah, exactly.
Raid Shadow Legends. I've got 151 heroes.
And do you know what? I'm very anxious, man. And I need the safety of something like NordVPN.
Mm. No.
It's
Don't
been
let
a bad
Pornhub
week.
Know where you're wanking.
At night.
Mostly.
Oh, let's not use mostly for that.
Every movie ever podcast, ruining movies since... When did we start this? Some time ago.
You started before I did, so it's fine.
When did we start this?
Oh, 2 years ago nearly. You ready to have it be clear that you didn't really watch this film?
No, I want to know how you're really doing, not Raid Shadow Legends.
Oh, it's a really bad week. We'll get to another time. We're out of time now, Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You ready?
Yeah, hit me with it.
It's the Alien Quiznin.
Alien Quiznin?
It's Queen and Quiz smashed
together. Oh, right. I like it now.
Sorry, it's the Alien Queenizzle.
I love
That's
this.
That's worse, isn't it?
I oh, no, love okay, this. Good. It is much worse, right, okay. but it makes me happier.
Yeah. Right, you ready? We'll start easy.
Go on.
Game over, man, is a quote by which Marine?
The one that you've just fucking said his name. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Were you listening?
No. I was, but I was more trying to remember the film. It's, what's his name? I'm pretty sure his name is Simpson or Roderick.
No, it's not. His name's not Michael Bay.
Michael, hello, Batman. Bane, bean, bine, bone. What did you say?
No, it's not.
Which one?
It's there's a famous bay that has this man. The Hudson Bay. It's fine. His name's Hudson.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. That was a long walk for a short drink of water. All right, so Hudson.
Yeah, but
that was my next guess.
It was right next to you the whole time. You just went on a wander. Don't blame me for the length of the walk. Right?
Yeah.
How many years was Ripley adrift?
57.
Less time than it took Ben to answer. Okay, good.
Come on. Who do you think I am? Hudson?
All we know is that there is still no contact with the colony and that a xenomorph may be involved. Who said that?
Burke. Is it Burke?
No.
Is it not Burke?
No.
All
we know is that there is still no contact with the colony and a xenomorph may be involved.
Bishop?
Gorman, man.
Oh, of course.
When he's briefing the Marines.
Oh, yeah,
and they're all like, whatever.
That was
you
my
saw
next
an
guess.
Alien.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay.
Right, am I winning this? Is this helping the show?
Yeah.
Okay,
you ready
cool.
for the last one?
Hit me with it.
Who found Ripley?
Ooh.
What was the name of the team? What were they out there to do? Were they space miners? Were they space truckers? Were they a...
space litter pickers? Space...
basically.
Space... not reconnaissance.
No.
Fucking... salvagers?
Yes!
Fuck off, is that it?
Yes, it is. Deep salvage team.
Fuck yeah,
nicely
buddy.
Nicely done,
pulled
buddy.
Out of my asshole.
Hell yes, buddy.
Did I win? Wait, what was the quiz? What's the thing?
There's a bonus question.
Okay.
And this is important because this is the Disney princess question.
Oh, okay.
Our favorite Disney princess.
Slave Leia.
Xenomorph Queen.
Oh, yeah. Xenomorph Queen, sorry.
Sorry, my favorite Disney princess.
Yeah, sound.
Is in this film, but there is another one referenced in this movie. After waking up from cryosleep, when the Marines first see Ripley, Vasquez says, "Hey, Mira, who's..."
Snow White.
Yeah.
Yes, buddy.
Now you win.
Fuck
now
yeah, man. Win. All right, I'm ending on
five out of five.
Five out of five, yeah. Nearly. You know what I mean?
Nearly.
Nearly.
Nearly perfect,
man. Fucking yeah,
nearly
man.
Perfect.
First try.
What are you rating Aliens 1986?
Four? No, 10. Obviously a 10. Fat 10.
You've done that joke three times now. It no longer works.
Fine, fuck you. 9. I'm rating it a 9.
Okay, what's the one it loses then, fucker?
I'm annoyed at that statement. I like that joke.
Right, okay.
I like saying it. It made me happy.
Okay.
Now I'm sad.
Okay.
9.
Okay. All right, yeah, fair.
No,
fair,
it's
fair,
fucking fair, genius. Fair. It's one of the best sequels that exists. One of the best sequels that exists.
100%.
Fat 10. You?
Lovely. Fat 10. Obviously, this is like as close as it gets to a film that defined what films were for me.
Ooh. Okay, that's a fucking bold statement, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Time for comment corner.
Yes, please. Have you got any?
I've got JH7 Ministry Official.
Okay.
I don't know if he's a fan of industrial metal or the Jesus.
Ooh,
but
could be both.
Could be both.
Mm.
In response to my question, what does xenomorph eggs taste like, on Instagram?
Yeah.
He said, I think if it was in real life, the acid from these creatures would burn your mouth and insides, making you dead instantly. And I gotta admit, I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, it still doesn't answer what it tastes like. Like, would that be a spicy death, or would that be like a sweet and sour death? Like, what are we saying here? Is it salty?
I think it would be like lemon. There'd be like a nice lemon brightness, you know?
Oh, you think it's like a citrusy death?
Yeah, it's a citrusy death. Like, I add a lot of vinegar, I add a lot of lemon juice to things I'm making to make them a bit brighter, taste a bit fresher,
just,
you know?
So posh. Do you know what I mean? Just fucking, just...
I'm a chef, cunt.
Oh, yeah, you're a chef, but fuck me, mate. Jesus, just use what all other white people use for seasoning. Salt. There's nothing else. You know what I mean? Chicken, salt. On the, broccoli, salt. White rice, salt.
Filmbusters Pod got in touch.
Ooh, okay.
They said they were desperate to find a podcast that actually understood what these bloody alien movies are all about.
Oh,
and I found it. A chunk of the way in already, and I've already been greeted with Tony the Tiger swimming badges.
Yes.
And Godzilla Kong fan fiction. You can be assured you've earned yourself a new listener.
Fuck yeah, man. That makes me happy.
And then they say, I said, oh, well, you know, welcome, thank you. And then they got in touch like a whole day later, and they're like, and I end it with the treat of Kongmobile and Godzilla chemo. I'm fucking sold.
Oh, mate. What was the name of the pod?
Film Busters Pod. Go check them out. They're looking like they're brand new, but their branding is fucking on point, to be fair. I'm looking at their page being like, oh, that's so fucking consistent. It's annoying.
You cunts. But also, I'm gonna go check them out. And I think everyone else should too. But unfortunately, guys, this is where we're going to have to love you and leave you. Thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us this week. It has been an absolute pleasure.
And a privilege.
To be here with you. You have made our week. You validate our existence. Please don't stop giving us the attention, because we are 35-year-old men that crave your approval, anonymous listeners.
I love the way you always throw a "we" in there.
Oh, if I'm going down, I'm bringing you down with me, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That should be the tagline of the pod. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it. If we're going down, you're coming with us. You know what I mean?
Now, you've spent an hour of your week with us. For a lot of you, it's at the start of your week. You know, it's a lot of time. We're very grateful for it. So,
we truly are.
To thank you for that, Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, the themes, the subtext of this movie into a little Monday motivation pep talk.
I've got it this week as well.
Set you off right.
I'm good.
I'm going to cosplay a society, and I'm just going to tell you to consume.
So in Alien, right, I'm quite scared of AI, and in Alien, the android turns out to be the bastard. You know what I mean? You're like, fucking AI. It's always creeping around the corner trying to fuck us over. Aliens... I think what James Cameron did is he turned around and was like, yeah, androids can be cunts, but also humans can be cunts, threw Burke into the mix and was like, enjoy the trust issues, cunt. So I guess what I'm saying is, be scared of AI, but also be scared of people, because they ain't your friends either.
Oh, you're still listening. Well, that's good, because Alien the Eighth Passenger, who we collaborated with on the last Alien episode, we had a whole thing. We were going to do Ask the Experts. But then life happened. Ben and I are mentally ill. Alien the Eighth Passenger is busy. But they did send this over. Unfortunately, I am no longer in a state where I can edit it into the episode seamlessly. So here it is, where we always planned for it to be. Because we are organized and on top of things. Alien the Eighth Passenger's take of Aliens the sequel.
Hey guys, thank you for having me again. Alien the Eighth Passenger here. They say sequels are never good. For years, there's been a debate about which of the first two Alien saga movies is the best. And to be fair, the balance is quite even. But what makes Alien so beloved by fans? Well, James Cameron managed to imbue his own vision while honoring and respecting the foundation of the original lore. He expanded the universe like no one else has, introducing new concepts that fit perfectly, such as the Alien Queen and Warriors, the Colonial Marines, memorable characters, and exciting action sequences. He gave the story a faster pace without losing the original film's essence of horror and mystery. All of this led many fans to consider it the best sequel in cinema history. By the way, my favorite character besides Ripley is Hudson. Did you know that the word fuck is used 25 times in the film, 18 of them by, yes, you guessed it.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man. Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
You finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.